The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide. Morning Tide.
Tyler Toffoli on a brilliant feed from William Eklund. Macklin Severini, his first National Hockey League hat trick. Smith shoots. Score! Will Smith just tied the game.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Stick of Ehlers. Can the Sharks get it out? They put to the middle. It's poked at. It's grabbed by Wenberg. He's got it. Empty net. Can he get it by? He's dragged down to the ice, but he puts it in front of the net, and Celebrini scores! What an effort by Alex Wenberg! He was going to draw a penalty, but he got the puck back to his feet and fed it in front, and Macklin Celebrini puts the cherry on top of the sundae of this game to make it 4-1 San Jose. And for Celebrini, that's his third point of the game.
Hell of a job, man. Hell of a job. That was when we're committed right there. Every guy in here was committed to it, okay? Unreal. Power play getting us going there. Big goal there, buddy. Hell of a start, draw for Max. Smitty with that first shift. Okay. Clingy. Woo! Couple huge blocks, okay? Ecky had a couple. Toff.
Woo!
Every night, that's what it looks like, okay? And then, hey, this guy was locked in all night. You can see it from the start, hey? Ned. One other guy. We have 15 seconds left on our PK, okay? Chucky goes out there and wins the faceoff. Yeah. Those little things add up, and now we get the result, okay? Proud of you guys. Unbelievable job.
All right, that is Macklin Celebrini's empty netter and head coach Ryan Orsovsky in his post-game speech to his players, bringing us in on a Monday morning where the San Jose Sharks improve to 1-1 on their road trip and get a very, very high-quality win in Carolina, taking down one of the best teams in the NHL. I know there is a tendency for some people to say, well, Carolina may have been a little bit tired. They played the day before. You play the games on the schedule. The Sharks have had a huge number of back-to-backs already this season. They've been able to deal with it. And so I don't want to hear anybody try to qualify or take anything away from the San Jose Sharks win. They went into Carolina. They outworked the Canes. They outskated the Canes. They played a cleaner game. They played a better game. And they walked away with 2 points. And if we look at the playoff standings on what is Monday, December 8th, the San Jose Sharks are tied in points and in record with the Utah Mammoth, 14-13-3. The tiebreaker, I imagine, goes to the goal differential. San Jose is minus 13. Utah is plus 5. So that would be the difference right here. San Jose on a one-game winning streak. Utah is on a one-game losing streak. San Jose has passed up Chicago, who have lost 2 in a row. And at the top of the wild card are the Edmonton Oilers, who are having a bit of a correction. They're 5-4-1 in their last 10. They've won 2 in a row. Sharks are 2 points back in the Pacific of third place LA. They are 5 points back of Vegas, and they are 6 points back of Anaheim. So everything is within striking distance for San Jose. They are keeping themselves in the conversation. I'm not about to declare San Jose as being a playoff team, quote unquote, as of yet, but I think the Sharks have continually showed themselves to be a relatively good team. And again, the longer they stay in this conversation, the longer they are able to hang around, the more we are going to be able to say, yep, this team is taking the positive steps we wanted. They are hanging out in that playoff conversation. They are on pace for a big step up from last year. Listen, guys, you know, the last couple of years combined, they won, what, 39 games? Right now, they are on pace for almost 39 wins this year. 38.27 wins is what they're on pace for. And so I'm not going to overlook it. I'm not going to say that anything should be taken for granted or that the Sharks can improve, because if you take away those first six that they lost to the year and look at it more since they've developed into the team that we consistently know them as, they would be on pace for over 41 wins, and they would be even more in that playoff race if they hadn't lost those first six of the year. I know this is no surprise, but what I think we're seeing from the Sharks is consistency. They are 5-5 in their last 10. Being around a 500 team is not problematic in the slightest, especially when you won 20 games the year before, right? And 19 the year before that. And 22 the year before that. And I know we could go on and on and on. We'd have to go back to the 21-22 season to find a San Jose Sharks team that was relatively decent, where they had 32 wins, 37 losses, and 13 overtime losses, were 77 points. And that year they finished a full 20 points out of the wild card rankings. But, you know, we've got to be realistic, guys. The Sharks are taking big steps forward. And I look at the way that they played last night, getting that goal so early in the game, Colin Graf being rewarded, being put back up on that top line. I wondered when that was going to happen again, because Colin Graf's game, guys, it has seen such a rapid evolution right now. I think the most clear comparison is what we saw with Will Smith's game last year in January after that game in Boston, where he had a big game and then took big steps forward. For Colin Graf, listen, Colin Graf has been great since he came up to the Sharks last year, and I'm not trying to be hyperbolic, and I know you're saying, well, Ted, he only had X number of points last year, and he's only got, you know, 5 goals this year. Colin Graf's game is not, at this point, predicated in his ability to score. It is about how much he does in terms of his defensive work, being responsible with the puck, winning the puck battles, doing the nitty-gritty things. And then yesterday, in addition to scoring, he's out there on the PK. He's out there breaking up passes and winning puck battles and all of these things. But, you know, suddenly we're watching him have just more of an impact game to game all over the ice. And if we look at his game yesterday with that goal, 33 seconds in, you know, that was such a huge moment. It's easy to get a little bit overwhelmed by Macklin Celebrini with another 3-point game or a really nice correction from John Klingberg, who'd had a bad stretch edge of late. You know, he comes up with a big goal. He gets an assist as well. Alex Wenberg comes up with that goal to make it 3-1 for San Jose. He's got a 2-point game. You know, Philip Kurashev has an assist. Willie Eklund has an assist. Will Smith has an assist. You know, it's easy to get lost in all the other quote-unquote star players, but Colin Graf is more and more becoming the star player. You know, he is not the sexy player. He's not maybe the high-scoring guy at this point of his career, but he is a guy whose hard work and his dedication makes him a star player because everyone can see it. You don't have to be a hockey diehard to watch Colin Graf on his shift and say, you know what, I love something about that guy's game. I'm not sure what it is, but I love his effort. I love his work habits. I love all the things that he does because he does it the right way. And now that he's on that top line, I hope that's something that continues because, you know, he's a guy who gets net front. And I love the fact that he's up there in these tight spaces, making things happen. You know, that's 2 games in a row with him with goals, getting to the crease, getting in front, and making something happen. You know, that is part of his game. He's got 12 points right now. You know, he is trending towards being a 0.5 player per game right now. And I don't think there's any reason why that can't go up. And I also love the fact that that's the college line, right? You've got the guys from the big Boston schools and Will Smith and Macklin Celebrini, and then you've got Colin Graf from Quinnipiac. I love the college line. I want to keep those guys together. And I want to see more and more from them in the near future just because they play such a high-level game. And I think that giving Colin Graf the opportunity to be on a line with more offensive upside will, no shocker, create more offensive upside for him. But I think that's the next step of his game. Get him more passes down low. Get him more passes where he can turn them into a goal. He's always in the right place at the right time. Always. It's astounding. His instincts, his vision, his hockey IQ, they're all off the charts. He might not have, you know, the intrinsic abilities of Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith, but there is something to his game that allows him to constantly find himself in the right places at the right moments, and that should not be overlooked in the slightest. So he continues to play at a high level like that. He continues to be very, very impressive, and everyone is enjoying what he brings to the table. I know that I am very much enjoying what he brings to the table, but, you know, to go back to their ability to take a lead in this game, you know, roughly 30 seconds in, that changes the entire dynamic. If Carolina's legs felt heavy at all from playing on the second day of a back-to-back, then suddenly I'm sure their legs felt like lead because that was such a great tic-tac-toe movement of the puck situation and just put it past the goalie. Like, boom, okay, we're 30 seconds in. The Sharks just put one past us. What just happened? But even when San Jose could not extend their lead early on in that game, they kept on skating hard. They kept on having a good performance, and that's what really gave me more faith in their ability to continue to have a high-level game as they kept on skating hard. They kept their feet moving. I know it's one of those simple things that we always talk about, you know, or you hear Drew talk about during the games, or you hear whoever's on color with Dan talk about during the games. Keep your feet moving. Keep your feet moving. I know Brett Hedekin talked about it nonstop, but he's right. If you keep your feet moving, if you don't get stuck, if you don't get just in that mindset of being able to take a breather for just a moment, you will be rewarded. And again, we go back to that hard work and that commitment. Yes, you're going to be sucking air harder when you get back onto the bench, or maybe for the last few minutes of that, or last few moments of that shift, but it will pay off. And I think that's what we saw for San Jose throughout the game. And then, you know, the defensive structure was very, very good. And then you get rewarded with one hand feeding the other. And the way Alex Nedeljkovic played, 966 save percentage, 29 shots again, 28 saves. He was a brick wall all night long. He was extremely settled net front. And I think that, you know, obviously we've seen him come in relief for Askarov in the last couple of games where, you know, the Sharks have kind of hung Askey out to drive. For Nedeljkovic to know that he was the starting goalie, to be able to have that little bit of preparation to play against a former team of his, I think this all plays into his overall, you know, performance throughout the game, because he was just on fire. But it felt that way for everybody yesterday. You know, Macklin Celebrini, he was making things happen, ends up with a 3-point game. You know, John Klingberg obviously has had a rough go of it as of late, but he played a very high-level game. You know, Wennberg, Kurashev, Eklund, Smith, Graf. And then even the guys that weren't getting the points, you saw Nick Leddy having a good game. Jeff Skinner, he was making things happen, and he's been a great re-addition to the lineup since he's come back from injury. You know, Tyler Toffoli, he's not been rewarded with the goals he deserves as of late, but he was blocking shots yesterday. He was using his physicality. You know, Dmitry Orlov, he was drawing penalties yesterday. Barclay Goodrow was doing his thing. I mean, just everybody was stepping up. And I know I could go on and, you know, list about seven more names that I didn't get to, but the fact is it was a team win. It was a team performance. And that's what sometimes San Jose gets away from in those losses, where you see, you know, one guy has a good game, like the last couple of games that they got beaten, where you saw it was, you know, against the Caps and against Dallas. Colin Graf had good games, but almost everybody else looked like they were just kind of stuck in the mud. Well, whatever was needed to get the team to get a little bit of energy in their caboose, that definitely happened. And they were hauling out there on the ice, and they were playing fresh. They were playing dedicated. They were doing everything that you want to see. And yes, it's easy to point these things out when you see the team walk away with a win, but that's kind of the point, right? As you can see the success that they're having, you can see what they are quote unquote doing right, and it becomes painfully obvious to those of us on the outside what is going right and what is not going right. And when the Sharks are having games where they don't walk away with wins, or, you know, they only come up with the ability to have Macklin Celebrini or Tyler Toffoli or somebody else kind of save them with a wild performance, you see that the legs aren't moving as much. You see that they're not being as clean with the puck. They're turning it over at the blue line or in the neutral zone. And, you know, when those things are eliminated from the game, again, obvious, you're going to walk away with a higher level performance and hopefully a win. But you could tell by the way that Ryan Warsowski was speaking after the game that he was very impressed with his team's performance. He was happy with what he saw. And again, this comes back to what we've seen from the Sharks and their ability to play around 500 hockey as of late. I'm completely fine with that. I know that some people want to see the team go streaking again or win 4 out of 5, but that might happen, of course. But if you look at where the team was, you know, where they would win 1 or 2 and then drop 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 or beyond in a row, that's what they've moved on from. And that, to me, at this point of the year, as we're now on December 8th, is the biggest step forward from a year ago. Yes, Macklin Celebrini has evolved into a superstar in the NHL. Yes, we're watching Yaroslav Askarov perform at an extremely high level, look like a franchise netminder. Those things are great. Yes, we're watching the Sharks be in a playoff race, quote-unquote, still on December 8th. I'm not overlooking any of those things. I am not saying that any of that is problematic or anything like that. But to me, the biggest thing is that they are playing 500 hockey. When the momentum is there and you have the ability to win games, great. Win 3 out of 4, win 6 out of 7, win 7 out of 10, whatever it's going to be. I'll take that any day of the week. But for the Sharks to be able to stop a losing streak at 1 or 2 games and then bounce back with a win and keep their last 10, 5 and 5, I don't think it's dropped below 5 and 5 in their last, you know, stretch of however it's been since they have rectified after the 0-4-2 start. Playing 500 hockey is a huge step forward. Remember last year, we saw what Anaheim was doing. We said that's where San Jose needs to be. They need to be like Anaheim this year. Well, Anaheim last year finished 35, 37-10, 80 points on the year. The Sharks are relatively on pace for that, and that would be a great season. I know that it's not in the playoffs. They finished with 80 points. That's 16 behind St. Louis, who finished the final wild card last year. But I think you got to be realistic. If the Sharks can keep in that range of being around a 500 team, everyone takes that. Everyone takes that, no problem. But it's not just talking about it. It's getting it done. And the San Jose Sharks schedule remains difficult. Three more games on this road trip. Tuesday at Philadelphia. Thursday at Toronto. Saturday at Pittsburgh. Then they get a couple days off. Then they're back home for three, hosting Calgary, hosting Dallas, hosting Seattle. Then they're on the road for three, but that's interrupted by the Christmas break. On the 23rd, they are at Vegas. I'll be at that game, by the way. I'll be on the broadcast with Dan Rusinowski. Then they'll be at Vancouver on the 27th. Again, I'll be on that broadcast with Dan Rusinowski. Then they go to Anaheim on the 29th, and they're back home on New Year's Eve for a 1 o'clock start time against the Minnesota Wild. So, you know, the Sharks' schedule does not lighten up. You know, we can all talk about how good they are playing up to this point of the season compared to where they were a year ago, but the challenges remain. But for this team right now, with what I'm seeing, with an effort like they put in yesterday against Carolina, with guys like Colin Graf developing into not quite stars yet in the NHL, but I think fan favorites for a good reason here in the Bay Area. If you're a Sharks fan, you love Colin Graf. The more and more that we see of that, and then playing, if their downturn is what we would call 500 hockey, boy, guys, that's a huge, huge step for this team. It's a huge, huge step for all the players here, the coaching staff, everyone. Now, of course, they've got to keep it rolling. There's three games left. I would love to see a winning road trip. If they could get 3 out of 5 on this road trip, that would be a huge step for San Jose. 4 out of 5? Oof. Don't let me get greedy, guys. Don't let me get greedy. All right, let's get into some of these highlights. Like I said, we've been talking about Colin Graf. He scored just about 30 seconds into the game on the top line, the college line, to put it in the back of the net and give San Jose an early 1-0 lead.
Nice keep in by Will Smith. Gives Settimarini. Makes a nifty move. Throws to the front. And Graf tips it and scores. Tic-tac-toe. Great keep in by Will Smith. A beautiful move. Spinning in the slot by Settimarini. And how about Graf? Just put his stick down and banged it home. Colin Graf makes it 1-0 San Jose. His fifth goal of the season. 33 seconds after the opening faceoff.
How can you not like Colin Graf? That is my immediate answer to that goal, assisted by Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith. Good Lord, Macklin Celebrini right now, he is tied for the league lead in assists, or at least he was briefly yesterday. But he has 43 points on the year and 15 goals, 28 assists. Good golly, he keeps on performing at a ridiculously high level. And I did stop recording there for a moment to look at the stats. Yes, Connor McDavid and Macklin Celebrini are tied for the league lead in assists with 28 each. Nathan MacKinnon is the leader in goals. Let's look at the leader in terms of points overall. Macklin Celebrini, second in the league. He's ahead of Connor McDavid, 6 back of Nathan MacKinnon. Might I remind you, let's just talk about where those guys are, by the way. Nathan MacKinnon playing on a team that is in the conversation for a Stanley Cup title this year, undoubtedly. Connor McDavid has been in the last 2 Stanley Cup finals, is playing for an unbelievably talented team, and is widely considered to be the most talented player of his generation. And I know that people like myself could probably make a pretty decent argument for him maybe being the greatest of all time. And then you've got Macklin Celebrini in second with 43 points. He's 19 years old. And then Connor Bedard, he is in fourth overall. He has got 40 points. He's 20 years old. Guys, 2 of the top 4 players in terms of scoring in the NHL right now are 20 and 19 years old. What is going on? The youth movement in the NHL is real. All right, back to the game itself. Carolina, they would come up with a game-tying goal off the power play shortly thereafter to make it a 1-1 game, 13-18 mark of the first period.
Gostisbehere and Aho on the points. Here's Gostisbehere to Aho, left wing half boards. Feeds back left point to a back skating Gostisbehere. He's watched by Graf, so he tosses to the right side, gets a return feed, shoots one, score! Alex Nedeljkovic is saying that that puck was high-sticked in. It was tipped in front. It trickled past Nedeljkovic. The referee is calling it a goal, and Nedeljkovic swats the puck out of the net in frustration as the Hurricanes will get a power play goal unless this gets called back, and the Sharks are looking at it right now.
No high tip. Onward we go. Alex Nedeljkovic continued to play out of his mind. And then at the 7:54 mark of the second period, John Klingberg, assisted by Macklin Celebrini and Philip Kurashev, makes it a 2-1 lead for San Jose.
Little exchange with Ferraro there. Kurashev to the near side to Graf to the slot. Celebrini in front. Kurashev fires it. That just missed. Kept in by Klingberg. Feeds behind the net. Celebrini in front. Smith shoots. Score! Will Smith. No, wait a minute. That's John Klingberg out there in front of a net. Klingberg getting the pass from Celebrini and snapping it up top. And the Sharks have a 2-1 lead.
I kind of felt at that point, as well as the Sharks were playing, that whoever scored the next goal was going to be able to take control of the game. And it was San Jose. Again, that's team play. That's a great goal for John Klingberg. But Macklin getting his second of the day. Philip Kurashev getting in on things. San Jose up 2-1. You felt that deflate Carolina because they had made a little bit of a push, in my opinion. And then, you know, we go to the later stages of the second period. Alexander Wennberg on the power play, assisted by Ekki and Klingberg. That makes it a 3-1 game. San Jose completely in control.
Toffoli stick handles, holds it, rims it around near side to Celebrini. He turns, he stick handles. He had the man in front in the slot. Necklin couldn't get him the puck. Good defense by Stahl. Now in front, Klingberg. Got it to Eklund for a shot. Save made, score! Rebound in front, Wennberg right there. And that's a great job by the Sharks. The shot came from Eklund on a beautiful pass to the middle, but Alex Wennberg gets control of it and scores on the power play to make it 3-1 San Jose.
So San Jose goes into the second intermission with a 3-1 lead. And again, you can put a lot of this on the play of Alex Nedeljkovic, who throughout the third period just continued to be a monster.
Rebound picked up in the corner with 20 seconds on the power play. Gostisbehere again, stick handling up top. Feeds right circle. Ehlers the drive. Save! Nedeljkovic! And he's able to hang on. Good job there by Alex Nedeljkovic with 17 seconds left in the penalty to San Jose's Jeff Skinner.
And let's get another net highlight while we're at it. Another big save in that third period.
Six attackers for the Canes. They throw to the net. Tipped on goal. Save made. Another stop. Another save by Nedeljkovic. And he hangs on. That's a tremendous bit of goaltending right there by Alex Nedeljkovic. And it's still 3-1 Sharks with a minute 45 to go.
And at this point, everybody's feeling great. The San Jose Sharks have a commanding 3-1 lead. Yes, Carolina was still going to make things interesting until the end, but this one really felt in control by San Jose. And that was my favorite part of the game, is that, you know, San Jose, we've had the incredible overtime wins. We've had the incredible Macklin moments. Whatever it's going to be, we'll take the wins any way they come. But again, the fact that the Sharks took the early 1-0 lead, weathered the response from Carolina, built that in the second period to a 2-1 lead and a 3-1 lead, you manage the third period, and then you get rewarded with Macklin Celebrini burying the empty netter.
Off the stick of Ehlers. Can the Sharks get it out? They put to the middle. It's poked at. It's grabbed by Wennberg. He's got it. Empty net. Can he get it by? He's dragged down to the ice, but he puts it in front of the net, and Celebrini scores! What an effort by Alex Wennberg. He was going to draw a penalty, but he got the puck back to his feet and fed it in front. And Macklin Celebrini puts the cherry on top of the sundae of this game to make it 4-1 San Jose. And for Celebrini, that's his third point of the game.
Sharks walk away with a 4-1 win, a very convincing 4-1 win at that. They're 1-1 on the road trip, and now they find themselves in a very, very strong place in terms of the overall wild card race, in terms of continuing to be a consistent hockey team. You know, for so long, you know, wins were so rare, right? And now we get to look at this and say, okay, how do we feel about this win? You know, we're judging our wins. That's where we are at this point. But yesterday, that was a complete performance. Defense was solid. Goalie was great. The offense took care of business. It was not a quote-unquote dominant game, but it was a clean and controlled game. It wasn't, you know, hold on to your butts, you know, hair on fire type win that we've seen from San Jose, and I'll take those when they come, but this was a relatively controlled game, and I think that's what I'm looking for. Can San Jose continue to have games where more than it is a superstar playing like a superstar, it's the team controlling aspects of the game, taking care of the little things, and being rewarded for that hard work and doing the little things right. The more and more San Jose learns to do that, the more and more they're going to be able to walk away with wins in the National Hockey League. Let's get into some of this post-game reaction. Here's head coach Ryan Warsawski.
Yeah, I think so. Orlov as well. And guys have, you know, been around this place. They've obviously done a really good job, Roddy and his staff. have done an unbelievable job building this organization into, you know, really a contender every single year the last, you know, 7 or 8 years. And there's an identity to the team. There's a culture here. You know, I know they didn't, you know, have the success they usually have in this building tonight, but it's a really good team over there. So I'm happy for Ned, Orly, those guys that have, you know, played for those guys. It's a tough place to play.
It is a tough place to play, and San Jose came in and had a very, very quality performance, and they walked away with a win, which also put an end to a two-game losing streak. I know that's relatively minor compared to what we've seen in recent memory with San Jose, but stopping a losing streak at one or two games, that's a big way to turn things around for San Jose and keep them in the conversation for the playoffs.
It's important. You know, we talked about it this morning, is we needed every guy to be committed to it. This time of year, it's tough to win. It's tough to win in this league. You have to be really committed. You need, you know, four lines and six defensemen and your goalies committed to how we want to play. And I thought tonight was probably the best we've done of that all year.
And that goes back to my point of this was not a hero game. This was not a wild game. This was just the Sharks carrying out their game plan. They did what was asked of them. They did it cleanly. They did it consistently. They did it throughout all three periods. They did it throughout all three zones. Was it perfect? No, of course not. It's very, very hard to play something close to what we would call a perfect game, especially for a team that is where the San Jose Sharks are. But was it good enough to control the game, dictate the pace of play, and be the commanding team? Yeah, it was. That's reflected in the scoreline. 4-1. Took advantage of their opportunities. Got a power play goal, right? You saw a defenseman get in on the scoring, John Klingberg. You saw an early goal, you know, to make sure that you weren't chasing the game on the road. Those are all the little things that come up big over the course of 60 minutes. Individually, they are, of course, big moments. Goals are always big moments, but it's the goals combined with the little things that allow you to have a high-level performance. Let's hear from Alex Nedeljkovic, who had arguably his best game of the year in shutting down a very potent Carolina attack.
It's way more fun winning, and whether it's you give up zero, you give up one, or you give up five, like, you know, you don't want to give up five, but at the end of the day, if the guys can pull through and we can get 2 points, it's huge. And they played awesome tonight. I mean, we limited them in the first two periods there, and we know they're a good team. They're going to push. They're at home. It's a two-goal game going into third, so they're very much in it. They can, you know, score two pretty quick. So I thought we did a good job of just hunkering down, staying with it in our own end in the third, and just keeping it simple.
Yeah, keeping it simple. I know that's something that's kind of repeated. But yeah, don't try and hit the home run pass. Don't try and make things too complicated. Move the puck. Move it cleanly. Don't try and do too much. Play your game. Do what the coaching staff has asked of you throughout the game. You're going to walk away with a good performance. And if the goalie is singing the team's praises that way, you know that that's a good performance for the team because they see it all. You know, they know what type of defensive structure is out there. They know, you know, how the team plays in front of them. I know that a goalie is never going to walk out there and say, yeah, my defense was, you know, garbage in front of me. I'm sure there's many goalies in the NHL that have wanted to say that on any given situation in the NHL, or maybe it's crossed their mind. I don't know if they want to say it, but they don't ever blame the defense, but they sure as hell will be complimentary of it. And the words that Alex Nedeljkovic had to say yesterday about the team performance and the way that they played, you should take that to heart. And again, Ryan Warsofsky was so pleased in that postgame speech that we started out with. That means that things are going according to plan. Now, it may not have been perfect, like I said, but again, you look at a 4-1 win in which you score on the power play, in which your goalie plays great, in which you're getting top line scoring, of which everything is going to plan, and you say to yourself, yep, that was our game. We did what we expected. We did what we were asked to do, and we walk away with a convincing win. That's why everybody's so happy. Again, you'll take the hero performances when they come, but this is a great look back for San Jose. When they need to go to film after a difficult game, they can point at this one and say, okay, what did we do so right in this game? We didn't turn the puck over carelessly. We didn't chuck it around. We stuck to our defensive assignments. We kept it simple, and we walked away with a high-quality win. And a big part of that, like I keep on saying, Colin Graf, rewarded with top-line play, rewards that assignment with an early goal. Let's hear what he had to say.
Yeah, it was fun. It was you know, a great start, great plays from Smitty and Mac, and just going to the net with my stick on the ice, and Mac found me and managed to put that one in. And I think that from there, you know, we get confidence, obviously. If you score the first shift, you feel good. And as a line, we played well.
And he offered this on the team's PK.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, our team defense was really good. As for the PK, you know, it's unfortunate, but I think that the fact we killed the next two, and especially the one in the third, was big time.
A 4-1 win, and San Jose now moves on this five-game road trip. They are taking on Philadelphia on Tuesday. That's going to be a 4 o'clock start time, 3:30 right here on the Sharks Audio Network for pregame. We are out of time. I will see you on Tuesday for the San Jose Sharks. I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.